And every week somebody's been out, so we're just going to go ahead and do it today. Dave, unfortunately, is not with us, not able to be here, but we're going to go ahead and y'all just want to go ahead and take turns with the handheld mic there. Yep. And when they're done after the service, we'll have a table out in the lobby. The folks there sent treats to us here and also sent some other things for you to look at out there on the table from the polling team. So thank you, everyone. Go ahead.
As they would say in Poland, dzień dobry, which is actually day good, but I am learning a little Polish because I would love to go back. It was such an amazing trip. But prior to leaving, I was really excited about the work portion of the trip. It was something that I'd done in the past on some work trips, and so I thought, oh, that's comfortable, I can do that. But they kept talking about and reminding us that, no, this is about building relationships, and I just thought, well, I don't know what that's all about, but we'll see what happens. So in going, one of my highlights was actually seeing Jack and Joan reconnect with people they've known and just to see the deep relationships that they have there. That was such a wonderful evening of worship and a whole lot of tears from everybody, but that was a highlight. I did connect with a woman named Renata, and she, I think everyone would say, she had the biggest smile and she was just a fun-loving woman. And she knows very little English, and I know no Polish, so communicating was hard. But we shared Facebook pages, and we are communicating through Messenger and a whole lot of Google Translate. So there was a relationship set there, and I would love to go back. Let's see, what else? So because I want to go back, I have set myself the task of learning Polish. I bought a whole lot of books. I've got my flashcards started to learn my vocabulary. And I was told by Andrzej there, don't learn Polish, it's just hard. I'm like, don't tell me not to learn Polish, I want to. And another highlight for me was being able to have my daughter with me, Helena, and in going back, I hope within a couple years or so that I get to bring Amelia with me and just reconnect with the Polish believers we met, because worshiping them with them was just amazing. And the church that we worked at, I would love to be able to go back and see their new sanctuary, their brand new sanctuary that was supposed to seat 400, I think. It would be so great to see that sanctuary filled to overflowing with all the new believers in Poland. And I'm just so grateful for all the support we have had, both financially, and I'm sure your prayers were with us the whole time we were there, before and during. And so I just want to say thank you to all of you as a congregation.
This was my first Poland trip. It was amazing. I learned a lot, and I'm very glad I got to go.
Yeah, this was my first trip out of continental North America, and it's quite revealing. Actually, my personal account is one of mixed experiences, because of getting sick midway through the trip and having to spend 2 days in the hotel and a trip to the hospital. I want to thank Jack, if you're watching. Appreciate everything you did to organize the trip and everything during the trip that you did for us. Appreciate it very much. I believe we made a big contribution to the church buildings we worked in and made connections with a number of the people we talked to and interacted with. We left them with a good impression of our sincerity and desire to see their churches and outreach grow. My involvement was limited due to how tired I was just from the trip to get to Poland and how much work was needed there. Thanks to all of you who donated your money and prayers and encouragement to the team. And I want to read a letter that we got from one of the leaders, Andrew Gorski, when we got there. He said, "Beloved New Song Church, it's my greatest joy for me to welcome you here to Poland. We've been looking forward to this day to come for some time now. Revelation 9 says, 'Worthy are you to take the scroll and to open its seals, for you were slain, and by your blood you ransomed people for God from every tribe and language and people and nation.'" He says, "Truly our Savior is worthy, and your presence and work this week will help ensure that there are Polish people who will be ransomed by the great blood of our resurrected Lord. The mission you are undertaking is of eternal consequence. You have taken upon yourselves a great journey to get here, physically, emotionally, financially, and spiritually. And for this, we are truly grateful. Although you will be enhancing a building made of human hands, yet it will facilitate the building of the kingdom of God made with living stones. We look forward to working with you and beside you as we join in this great work together for the sake of the gospel of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ."
There's so much I could say and don't have time to say because I have another story I want to tell you. God has been working with me for, I don't know, the last 3.5 years to teach me to trust him. And I'm doing that right now because usually I get up here and I read what I want to say and I just have notes. So bear with me. But when I first got saved, I was really shy. Like the thought of getting up in front of people, even to give an announcement, was just overwhelming. And over time, I think I had surrendered my life to Christ in all areas except for one, and that was evangelism. I was certain that if I gave God that part of my life, that he would send me to downtown Columbus to Broad and High, and I'd be standing on a soapbox there sharing the gospel. And I just didn't feel comfortable with that. And so I didn't. And I tried in some ways to cheat. And I got involved with Operation Christmas Child, which I love and I highly endorse. But I felt like this is my contribution to evangelism. And yet that I don't feel like that's what God wanted. So fast forward to the last few years. God has changed me and taught me to trust him through his goodness and his kindness. And I did share a few times here at the church about how God was changing me. I put together a testimony tract because I went to Paul Marshall's Sunday school class. And then they talked me into doing a video, and I did that. But the whole point of those things is to share them. And I was still really scared to open my mouth. So then, I don't know, maybe back in February when Jack mentioned the trip, he said that the emphasis was going to be on serving, but there would be opportunities to share the gospel. And I really wanted to share the gospel, but I wasn't sure if I'd have that courage or not. So on Thursday, when we were there, there was an event called Street Church, and it's just what you think it is. And so Jack had asked us the day before, is anybody thinking about sharing? Well, Jeff had already been thinking about that, and so I told him, well, I'm a maybe, Jack. Maybe you should, could you just pray for me? So he said he would, and then the day of, we broke a little early from our work, and that gave me some time to gather my thoughts. And so I told him I would do it. And when we got there, and the time was getting closer for me to share, I was getting really nervous. And so I found Jack in the crowd, and I asked him if he would pray with me. And I really appreciated his response. He said, you know, there's nothing wrong with asking for prayer because even the Apostle Paul asked for other people to pray for him. So most of you know through the prayers or through the prayer email that was going around while we were in Poland, because that Jeff and Denise and I shared our testimony that night. And he sent the links, he videotaped those things and then sent the links. And so I don't know how many of you have seen it, but that night I was lying in bed and I was reflecting over the evening, and it struck me that I had finally surrendered the last part of my life to my God, who is continuously teaching me to trust him. And did he send me to Broad and High Street? No. He sent me downtown Poznan in Eastern Europe to share my story for whoever might be struggling the same way that I was, that they might find hope. And after 42 years, I can finally say that I've allowed God to have all of me. So thank you.
Well, many of you know me. My name is Jeff Hutchison. Moja żona, that's Polish for my wife, my spouse here. So, dzień dobry to everybody. And I would like to give a big thank you, or dziękuję bardzo, to everybody that helped make this trip possible. It's not about us. We were just people that God used to do something that you all were a part of. And as it was mentioned, we're actually thinking maybe in 2 years of going back. I know Lael and I are thinking about it, and Denise, and it was just an amazing opportunity. In my job, I'm an architect, and the company that I work for, we tend to design and build church buildings. Well, of course, it wouldn't be a show for anybody here unless we had slides. So I want to show you the first church that we visited. It is right there. God really put it on my heart about everything about this trip was dealing about relationships. And this was the first mission that we had, was us. Unfortunately, this kind of a setting doesn't really do justice to what all God did. You know, we're told we only are allowed like a couple of minutes, and, you know, Dave, Kenny, thank you for not being here. I'm taking your time, just saying. So, but there's so much that God did. We saw how God was in control, even with Tony, you know, and some of the illness that he had, and other things that, and Lael even mentioned to me, why are we having such a group of introverts going, except for maybe Jack and me? Obviously, there was a reason for it. But this was the first mission, and then, that's it, next slide. And then this is the next church that we hit. New song, welcome. The people in the middle were the ones that greeted us there. The tallest one is Bartek, who throughout the week we affectionately known him as Bartski, because I'm Hutch and he was supposed to be Starsky. So it's Bartski and Hutchski. Next slide. This is the next church that we visited. These are the people, some of which the ones that you heard mentioned. The lady in the black right in the middle is the one that Denise had mentioned. The girl to her, your right of her, is actually her daughter, and she did the interpreting. But this is what it was all about, was getting to know these people, including ourselves. Okay, next slide. And then the next group of people that we met, the first one was from Amazing Grace Church. This is from the Pentecostal Church, New Hope, or was it? New Hope. So that's the pastor. The lady in the middle was Ola, who we've really got, you know, fell in love with her and just dealing with her. And yeah, she's with the street ministry, but also was administrator for a lot of the stuff that was going on. And then Bartek. Bartek is actually going to be, he and his family are going to be the overseers of the EPIC, which is the Evangelical Poland Training Center that they're wanting to do. I actually had the blessing of meeting with him and Andrew Gorski for a couple hours just to talk about strategies and things like that. Next. And of course we had to have food while we were there. This is one of our favorite things. They would bring us food. This is one of my favorites. These were blueberry pierogies or dumplings. Next. And of course we had to fellowship even more. This is after we went on a tour of the city, and we sat down and had a fellowship meal with a number of the people. The one gentleman that's got the hat on, I think, was Andrew's son, and Andrew is sitting directly across from me. You see where Jack, then Dave, and then Andrew. Andrew is just such a wonderful guy. And Andrew, if you listen to this, I'm still looking to play you in basketball. Okay, just going there. Next. And this is what they fed us, just tons of food, like pierogi and all that. And the salad plate, guess who got that? That was me, because of my allergies. Next. And a lot of things that we did were all wrapped around fellowship, getting to know everybody. The farewell meal that we had was with these guys, and you can't see it real well, but they're roasting kielbasa over there. And in the front, there's a little thing that doesn't look like kielbasa, because I couldn't eat it. I have carrots roasting on the fire, so. Next. Here's one of the pictures of the next congregation. This was at the street church. So there's Jack and Andrew's, his grandson is to your left. Next. And there again are a couple of the people that were from the Amazing Grace Church. Next. And here's a picture of Denise. I will say one of the people that I'm most impressed with has been Denise, just in her willingness to be vulnerable and to share. If you have not listened to it, I recommend that you do look that up, and maybe Leah will be able to help you find where that is. So, next. And this is the next congregation that we went to. It all seems to be wrapping around food. But we went to, the gentleman in the red shirt is Sasha. And many years ago, he actually came and gave a testimony here and talked about it. It was so good to meet him, and we got to ride with him. They'd take us to places and got to talk to him. Just such a blessing to know them. And even more, this was the night that Jack and Joan found out about their latest grandchild while we were there. So, and it was just sweet to see them reconnect with everybody. And it was also, those cakes right there were because it was Andrew's birthday, his 18th birthday. Next slide. And this is another group of the people there. Sasha, his wife, and is that his daughter and his daughter? The person all the way over to the right was her boyfriend. And I think her younger brother's in front. Next. Now, this happens to be the lobby of the New Hope Church. They're meeting there right now. The sanctuary is not even done. The sanctuary doesn't even have a roof over it. We could show you a lot of other pictures with that. But the thing is, the church is there. The church is those people. Next. This is the pastor who gave a good message, I think. I don't know. It was in Polish. But Jack also, after this, gave a message. And another blessing was, next slide, Lael was asked to also give her testimony again. The lady that's up there with Lael translated everything. And it was just an amazing opportunity. I should back up one thing about the testimony that Lael gave at the street church. She actually had a couple of ladies that were from the Ukraine come up. I think it was a mom and a daughter, desperately wanted to talk to Lael, and we couldn't translate. That was the only sad part about it, but they wanted to come. And you know, even the people that were there, I don't know what God did with all of our testimonies, but they had homeless people that were getting fed, you know, bread and everything. It was just such an amazing time. Okay, next. Okay, being the architect, I had to show a couple of pictures of the church buildings. This was actually the cathedral in Poznan. And then this was also in Poznan, but it was farther down. It was like the St. Mary's Cathedral. And this is our worship place that we love the most right here, the ice cream place called Licked. If you look in the corner, it says, I licked it, so it's mine. We did have some fun there, some fellowship there. I would definitely ask all of you guys to pray for everybody that we had contact with and that we still want to have contact with, because it's all about the congregation. It is about God's people. And that's the biggest thing that God put on my heart. That and how much, you know, like a lot of the things that we're talking about lately has been about repenting and getting back with God. And I'll tell you, God can do amazing things. We all say this, but do we believe this? One of the greatest things for me is a little known thing that my wife knows, is that for years I thought I would never, ever get an opportunity to go to Europe. In my architectural schooling, I wanted to learn about the cathedrals and everything that I learned about here in the States. And I just kind of resigned myself to the fact that I was not going to go. God can do amazing things. And he made it possible for me to be able to go do one of the things I never thought I'd be able to do. And so did you. So thank you very much. We applaud you guys for helping us do this. And definitely pray. Pray about what you guys might be able to do. You'll just open up your hearts to God, surrender it to him, and he can do more than you can even ask or think. Thank you very much.
Good morning, everyone. We'll get started. All right. I'll do a second here. All right, welcome. Let's pray. Dear Father, we thank you for all you've blessed us with. What a Savior we do have, Lord. And thank you that starting today and for forever and ever, we can give you all the glory and praise and thanks, Lord. So as we come together now to learn more of you, we just thank you and bless your holy name. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Thank you, Gordon. Well, good morning, everyone. I'm Mike Spurlock, one of the elders here. One of the elders that are seldom heard from up here in the pulpit. So, so definitely out of my comfort zone, but you know, God uses us in our strengths and our weaknesses, and oftentimes he uses us even more so in our weaknesses. So with that, let's go ahead and get started. So this year we've been focused on what it means to follow Jesus and how to get back on track when we get off of that. Sometimes, you know, we do stray, don't we? Let me get my mechanics going here. And he was saying to them all, if anyone wishes to come after me, he must deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. So how are you coming with that? Are you having some pretty good success carrying your cross daily, denying yourself? Sometimes I wonder if I'm really denying myself. But so this is something we as believers are faced with every day, to take up our cross and to follow Jesus. But we struggle with that. And, you know, Jesus said before he left this earth, before he was resurrected, he told his disciples, you know, I'm going to him who sent me. And I'm sure the disciples were like, wait a minute. We need you here, Jesus. We need you to guide us, to lead us. How are we going to function without you? I mean, wouldn't you think that? If you'd been with Jesus for 3 or 4 years and had seen all of the wonderful miracles and all the wisdom that came from him, and suddenly it was going to be gone. So carrying one's cross, it does sound like a difficult path to take. But fortunately, not fortunately, but providentially, Jesus said, I tell you the truth, it is to your advantage that I go away. If I do not go away, the Helper will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you. So what's this about, this Helper? So carrying our cross wouldn't make a lot of sense for us to take on, would it? It's certainly not something for the faint-hearted. Denying oneself, I mean, you know, I'd rather not do that, right? It's kind of opposed to my flesh, my desires, my, you know, way of thinking. And it wouldn't make sense unless there were some kind of upside, like the promise of heaven, promise of heavenly rewards, the promise of eternal life, and like the joy of knowing our Creator and Heavenly Father on a personal level. You know, Jesus went to the cross for the joy that was set before him. He made the path for his followers, redeeming them from their sins and giving them eternal life. It is through him that we have this heavenly treasure. But back to carrying our cross daily. How do we manage that here and now? Where can we find the strength and power to do this on a daily basis? Before Jesus went to the cross, you know, he gave us, it's here in this verse in John 16:6. He's sending the helper. So after Jesus' death on the cross and burial, he rose from the grave and ascended to his heavenly throne as the exalted Son of God. He left us, his followers, with a wonderful gift, the gift of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is the third person of the Trinity, and the scriptures say that he is here with us for our benefit. Jesus told us about the Holy Spirit in a couple of passages. But when he, the Spirit of truth, comes, he will guide you into all truth. For he will not speak on his own initiative, but whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will disclose to you what is to come. Now, this is interesting. He will disclose to you what is to come. We know that this did happen with the Apostle John. The Spirit revealed to him, as recorded in the book of Revelation, the things that are, even now, are still yet to come. We as followers of Christ are promised the Spirit will work in our lives as well to disclose to us what is to come. And, you know, John's was on a macro level. Ours may not be on that big macro level, but it may be for us personally. He gives us guidance. In another passage, he says, I will ask the Father, and he will give another helper. He will give you another helper that he may be with you forever. That is the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it does not know him, or does not see him or know him. But you know him, because he abides with you and will be in you. And actually, the Greek word here for helper is interesting. It means, it's parakleton. Para meaning near, and kaleo is the verb to call. So it's, put that together, it's the near called one. It's translated in our Bibles as helper or advocate or comforter. So we see here also that those that have the Holy Spirit inside of them, only those that have the Holy Spirit living inside of them are even aware of the Holy Spirit. This is our, and so in this morning's message, I've got several points to remember, and this is going to be our first one, that the Holy Spirit has been sent by Jesus to be with us forever. You know, not just here on earth, but forever. And so, where do we go from here? Galatians tells us we're to walk by the Spirit. But I say walk by the Spirit, and you will not carry out the desire of the flesh. So what does that mean? How does that happen? How do we do that on a practical level? When we think of the Holy Spirit, what comes to our mind? Perhaps this is an area that brings up fear or concern or caution. In fact, some here in this room may have their antennas up right now, thinking, where are we going with this topic? This might take us out of our comfort zone. I'm not sure. I want to delve into this area very much. And perhaps, you know, you have reason for those concerns. Perhaps you've been exposed to some unbalanced teaching in this area, or worse, false teaching. But, you know, the fact is, it's in the scripture, so we should be including it in our understanding. So, you know, the question is, why is it in the scriptures? We seek God to find out. When we think of the Holy Spirit, it can seem to be an area that is uncharted territory. It seems different than things like studying the Word, because, you know, with the Word, I can study it, I can meditate upon it, I can learn from it, and if I don't completely understand it, well, I can come back later and maybe give it some more thought, give it a second look. But, you know, walking by the Spirit seems a little bit different. Because with the, you know, it can be a difficult thing to comprehend, probably because it's not a concrete concept. And, you know, I'm an engineer and I deal in concrete concepts. Actually, it's not all that concrete in the electrical world where I am, the principles are there and they apply to the physical world itself. I can go into further detail with that after the sermon if you'd like to know more. But so it's not a concrete concept, and in some ways this can make us feel a little bit uncomfortable. We don't feel like we're in control. The scripture assures us that God does not want us as Christians to be uncomfortable with the Holy Spirit. Although for believers, it may very well be. You know, the Holy Spirit came to convict the world of sin and righteousness, and those things can be uncomfortable if you're an unbeliever. And, you know, really, they should be. A second passage to that is kind of related to this topic is Romans 8:14. For all who are being led by the Spirit of God, these are sons of God. So in this passage, we're saying, it's saying to be led by the Spirit. So, you know, what does that mean? How does it relate to walking by the Spirit? When we are being led, we often think of direction for making important decisions. We're familiar with football games where, you know, a simple thing, what direction do we want to start this game off with? Well, first thing we're going to do, we're going to flip a coin and determine which team will kick off. So this is my poor attempt at showing a coin toss, in case you were wondering what that was. In a way, this coin, you know, is guiding that team, is getting them started off, setting them the right direction, and it sets the initial direction for the team. And so the players will look at that, you know, whether it's head or tails, and then they will abide by this, whatever that coin tells them. You know, heads, this team takes is receiving, and heads, the other one, or heads, the other team receives. So there's also, you know, a much more spiritual approach. You know, have you ever heard the one about if you need guidance, you just close your eyes and you open the Bible and you put your finger on a verse and then you read it? You know, I've heard some horror stories about that where, you know, like Judas went and hanged himself. That was one of them. That's definitely a verse you probably don't want to be heading towards, but a third way some people look for direction is with dreams. And, you know, I will say that, you know, that does seem kind of weird, but God does use that. As a matter of fact, we have a few scriptural examples of where God gave direction to people by through a dream. Like, for example, Joseph. You know, God warned him, the angel of the Lord warned him in a dream that Herod was coming to, you know, kill his family, and his son, who, the son who killed Jesus, and so they fled to Egypt. And I think some of us are probably familiar with stories of Muslims that have had dreams, and they have come to faith in Christ through a dream. Perhaps they, you know, had this dream experience, and they just couldn't shake it until they found the answer to that. So I will say, though, that my experience in getting guidance from dreams, my track record hasn't been all that great. In one dream, I remember, this is a very vivid dream, happened when I was like 7 or 8 years old, and it has, for the last, you know, I'm only 35, so it's only been 20 years, but no. but this dream, even now, you know, it's very vivid in my memory from all those years ago. And in this dream, I'd gone out into my backyard to play, and it was a beautiful, lazy summer day with blue skies and bright sunshine. And, you know, I was just enjoying the weather and the gentle breezes and everything. And all of a sudden, I looked out at the back end of our yard, and there's a chain link fence about 4 foot high. And directly on the other side of it is none other than a 25 foot tall Tyrannosaurus Rex. And this dinosaur was standing there, and he was looking straight at me. And of all things, he had a fishing pole in his hand, you know, like this, little short arms. And he was casting, and he had a hook on that line, and he was trying to snag me and reel me in. Now, I don't know why he didn't just jump over the fence, but you know, my reaction was I took off like a shot, ran into the house. So can anyone here tell me the interpretation of my dream? Anybody? Okay. So one clue about this, though, is this book on dinosaurs. We had this growing up, or, you know, beginning book on dinosaurs. And in one of the pages, the T-Rex was in there. It's shown on the right. And amazingly, this T-Rex looks amazingly like the T-Rex that was in my dream. And all you had to do was add the fishing pole. So sorry, you know, I've kind of strayed off into the ether here somehow, but I'd like to bring this back into a spiritual application. And actually, I did think of a spiritual application for this dream. You see in this book, it explains that the word dinosaur means terrible lizard. And so I'm thinking, you know, lizards, you know, like a dinosaur, which is similar to a dragon. And the devil's described as a dragon in Revelation. And he tries to snag us. So the lesson is, don't get caught. Now, we recognize that sometimes we do need to make important decisions about the direction of our lives. And hopefully, not everyone has dreams about dinosaurs, but we do look to God for guidance in whatever method that He, you know, reveals His truth to us. And as believers, we lay out all the options. We should be laying out all the options on the table. And if our lives are committed to Christ, we pray and try to discern His will for that decision. And this is good and proper. You know, we need God's guidance for those important decisions that we make in our life. But getting back to Romans, being led by the Spirit, the way that term is used in that verse is not about that. It's not about that we are, you know, every once in a while going to get some guidance from the Holy Spirit. It is, if you look at the... let me just read this. being led by the Spirit of God, as stated in this passage, one commentary puts it, it is to be under the dominating influence of the Holy Spirit. Now, that's quite a bit different thing. Dominating suggests that the Holy Spirit is to have a prominent role in our everyday lives. We, as sons of God, are to be led by the Spirit under His overarching influence, to be heavily dependent upon Him for our very existence. Now, I must pause here and cover another aspect about this passage. And I want to look at the term sons of God. For all who are being led by the Spirit of God, these are sons of God. So in our world today, there's an emphasis on equality between men and women. So there is the temptation, you know, to try to, when you see a passage like this, to, well, we need to fix that, you know. This talking about sons, let's talk about women. And in the name of equality, the temptation is here to say sons and daughters of God. But, you know, as you look into the original languages here, even going back to the Greek in this passage, the term is huioi, which most assuredly refers to sons and not daughters. So that's what it says, and that's how it's translated. But if you go a little deeper into the scriptures, we see that the Old Testament pattern is that only sons received the family inheritance. And we read that about read about this in Numbers 27, when the daughters of Zelophehad brought a case before Moses. Now, I'm not going to read this entire passage here, but in essence, the daughters of Zelophehad did not, their father had passed away, and so these inheritances were given out. You know, the land was divided up among the Israelites, and they weren't going to get anything because they didn't have a male in their family tree there. So they brought a case before Moses. And in the end, the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, the daughters of Zelophehad are right in their statements. You shall surely give them a hereditary possession among their father's brothers, and you shall transfer the inheritance of their father to them. Further, you shall speak to the sons of Israel, saying, if a man dies and has no son, then you shall transfer his inheritance to his daughter. So, getting back to the New Testament pattern, we see that both men and women, if you look at this verse here, for you have not received a spirit of slavery leading to fear again, but you have received a spirit of adoption as sons, by which we cry out, Abba, Father. So we are all, male and female, we are all adopted as sons of God, and we receive the inheritance of the kingdom. And if we are sons of God, then we should be led by the Spirit of God. Romans states that not only should we be led by the Spirit of God, but we are obligated to do so. So then, brethren, we are under obligation, not to the flesh, to live according to the flesh. For if you are living according to the flesh, you must die. But if by the Spirit you are putting to death the deeds of the body, you will live. This passage in Romans brings up an important aspect as to what happens when we are being led by the Spirit. So, by the Spirit, we're putting to death the deeds of the body. The KJV uses the term mortify in place of the more modern phrase of putting to death. One commentary on this passage reads, the apostle is not satisfied with assuring them that they are under no obligations to the flesh to hearken to its suggestions, without reminding them where it will end if they do. And he uses the word mortify, which means put to death, as a kind of play upon the word die, just before, if ye do not kill, If you do not kill sin, it will kill you. So whatever profession of spiritual life men may make, it remains eternally true that if we live after the flesh, we shall die. And only if we live through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, shall we shall live. Now, this does not mean that we in our own strength do this. Simply using the Spirit as a tool or a weapon to achieve the desired ends, it's the other way around. We are in His hands. The Spirit works to free us from the power of sin. Sometimes that power seems to linger in our lives, doesn't it? It seems to linger on, at least in our minds. But in spite of the fact that we are set free from its power by the blood of Christ, through His finished work on the cross, we do still have our struggles. So it gets back to that dominating influence of the Holy Spirit. You know, do you have that in your life? Is the Holy Spirit playing a prominent role in your life? Are you going through life in your own strength, or are you looking to Him? So our second point is, we don't live the Christian life in our own strength or cleverness. The Holy Spirit is in charge. We just need to let Him lead. Now let's move on here. We talked, the previous passage talked about the deeds of the flesh, and there's a whole laundry list here in Galatians 5, what those are. There's immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, sorcery, enmity, strife, jealousy, outbursts of anger, disputes, dissensions, factions, envying, drunkenness, carousing, and things like these. I mean, that's a huge list. It's a lot to try to wrap your head around, right? To what are all these things? What do they mean? And then there comes with a warning: those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. So we've got all these things to try to deal with. Thanks be to the Lord, we're not doing that alone. So it becomes evident here in this passage, as we're dealing with these things, that the battle is going to be in our mind. Christ has already done the work on the cross for us. And we may not always understand completely what He's done for us. We may not always understand how to wage the battle against the deeds of the flesh. But the Holy Spirit is with us. He will be with us forever. And He is dominating, supposed to be dominating in our lives. For the mind set on the flesh is death, but the mind set on the Spirit is life and peace. Because the mind set on the flesh is hostile toward God. And so we can't have it both ways, can we? We either have to be focused on the Lord or focused on the battle that's waging around us. You know, kind of like Peter, when Jesus was walking on the water and Peter, you know, went out to meet Him. And he was fine as long as he was looking at the Lord. But as soon as he looked at the waves and the dangers around him, slipped right under the water. So there's a battle going on in our minds. On the one hand, we have the flesh pulling us down. And on the other, if we're led by the Spirit, we not only push back against the flesh, but we kill it. This is the same idea we saw in the passage in Romans. where it says, walk by the Spirit, you will not carry out the desires of the flesh. So what exactly is a mindset? Well, one psychologist tells us that a mindset is a belief that orients the way we handle situations, the way we sort out what is going on and what we should do. Our mindsets help us spot opportunities, but they can also trap us in self-defeating cycles. The mindset on the flesh will indeed trap us in a self-defeating spiral that leads to destruction. Now, we tend to move in the direction of where we are looking. My wife, Kathy, grew up on a farm and has mentioned that her father, her farmer father, liked to inspect other farmers' fields while they're driving down the highway. And this sometimes would result in the car heading off toward the ditch. So she got married to me, and things are much better, right? No. She married her husband, and being an electrical power engineer, I'm interested in all the power lines and the substations as we're passing by. Oh, look at that over there. She's got the same issue to deal with. But as we look at the Holy Spirit and yield to his leading, we move in the direction he wants us to go. We are, through his Spirit, able to put to death the deeds of the flesh, and we only get into trouble when we try to do it alone. The more talented we think we are, the easier it is to get into the habit of leaning on all of our physical and mental capacities to navigate through life. You know, we like to be in control, but we lose when we trust in ourselves. We gain when we trust in the Lord. As the scripture says, blessed is the man who trusts in the Lord and whose trust is the Lord. But also cursed is the man who trusts in mankind and makes flesh his strength, whose heart turns away from the Lord. So this leads us to our third point. Our minds tend to wander. Keep your mind set on the Spirit. As we do this, we will see results. And our Lord sets an example for us. When he went into the desert to be tempted of the devil, he went in full of the Holy Spirit. And he went through all these temptations, but he returned in the power of the Spirit. And news about him spread throughout all the surrounding district. So we see the message of Jesus flourishing after that time of temptation there. And of course, Jesus defeated the devil simply by confronting him with the truth of God's word. The devil is a liar and can't handle it when he's confronted with the truth. And we as believers need to be in the truth of God's word daily. When we have those run-ins with temptation, the downward pull of the flesh, and harassment from the enemy of our souls can be confronted. The Holy Spirit renews our minds through his word, and can be very, very effective to memorize. One tool we can use, of course, is to memorize scripture. And particularly, if you're struggling in a particular area, there are scriptures that you can find that will address that particular area, and it may be helpful to you. But, not all of us are good at that, right? We're memorizing scriptures and trying to meditate upon them. And so it can be frustrating sometimes. In our thoughts, we're thinking, okay, if I can't memorize this passage of scripture, I'm just going to be totally defeated by the enemy. And that's kind of our self-talk sometimes. But you know what's going on there is you're relying on yourself again. And you need the help of the Holy Spirit to help you memorize, to help you in this battle against the enemy. So our path to freedom is not dependent on how well we do our scripture memory or how hard we try at it. Just be faithful in a little and look to him to do the rest. Often he brings to remembrance the exact scripture passage we need for each situation. Romans 12:1, a familiar passage about renewing our minds. Therefore, I urge you, brethren, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies a living and holy sacrifice, acceptable to God, which is your spiritual service of worship. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, so that you may prove what the will of God is, that which is good and acceptable and perfect. So our fourth point is to stay in the Word daily, but don't fret about it. Don't get all worked up because you're struggling in that area. Let the Holy Spirit help you in your struggles. And let the Holy Spirit use those scriptures, even if you are, if you can't memorize, I think we can all memorize. One key, I think, is if we even start memorizing, it's sort of a self-promoting activity. The more you do, you start off small, and the more you do it, the easier it becomes. As spiritual darkness seems to be in enveloping the world around us, many believers believe that we're getting close to the end of the age as spoken of by Jesus. Jesus told us in Luke 21, which is interesting, the scripture reference says Romans, but this is Luke 21, so apologize for the error there. Be on guard so that your hearts will not be weighted down with dissipation and drunkenness and the worries of life, and that day will not come upon you suddenly like a trap, for it will come upon all those who dwell upon the face of all the earth. But keep on the alert at all times, praying that you may have strength to escape all these things that are about to take place and to stand before the Son of Man. Let's see. Okay, we're also told in Ephesians 5:18, and do not get drunk with wine, for that is dissipation, but be filled with the Spirit. Now, this word dissipation is interesting. What it means is the process of gradually disappearing, wasting away, is an ideal that's behind that. And as we see the day approaching, it is essential that we look to the Lord and the Holy Spirit he has provided for his direction. We may not always know how to pray in times of trouble, but he does. So one of the things that came to my mind when I thought about dissipation, well, how does that relate here to us in this modern day? And the immediate thing I thought of was digital stuff. You know, it's like, how many hours a day do I spend, you know, cruising the internet or, you know, social media or whatever, gaming or whatever. It's like, how many hours a day do I waste doing those types of things? And my life is just kind of dissipating, you know. And so I think it's good to take note of what's going on in our lives that are causing us to be unproductive for the kingdom of God. But again, in the same way, the Spirit also helps our weakness, even in this area. For we do not know how to pray as we should, but the Spirit himself intercedes for us with groanings too deep for words. We know that in any relationship, if it is going to grow, it requires cultivation. We need to spend time with the other person, getting to know them and they us. If the person is in leadership over us, it adds a whole new dimension to the relationship, and we are And if we are to be effective followers, we need to pay attention to who is leading. This is a main pillar if you're in the military, right? I mean, if you're not following the leader, that military operation is not going to succeed. So the Holy Spirit is our helper and advocate. If I want to be under his dominating influence, it behooves me to get to know this helper and to be sensitive and obedient to his continuous direction in my life. It behooves me to cooperate with the Holy Spirit in putting to death the deeds of the flesh. I believe this starts in the prayer closet. We need to spend time in prayer on a daily basis. This may be hard to do with all the demands and distractions vying for our attention. You know, the digital connections I just mentioned, the dissipation. I've recently been reading, going through E.M. Bounds' book on prayer. If you've ever read that, I'd highly recommend it. It's been on my bookshelf for probably 25 years, but me not being a reader, until maybe the last year and a half, I finally started reading. I have a long, long ways to go to catch up with my wife, but she's a really good reader. But I'm getting a lot out of that book, and it really has enhanced my prayer life. So recommend that if anyone can get a hold of a copy of that. So the Spirit will help our weakness, and it's not in our own strength, not by might nor by power, but by my Spirit, says the Lord of hosts. So our fifth point, cultivate a close relationship with the Holy Spirit. Stay faithful, relying on him, and do not get distracted. So my 5 points are summarized here. That completes the message here. And I'll leave that up for a little bit if anyone needs to write it down. I think this presentation will also be posted on the New Song website. And with that, let's close in prayer. Heavenly Father, just thank you for the work of the Holy Spirit in our lives, and help us to grow in our understanding of his ministry and in the allowing him to lead in our lives. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.